Funding for Think comes from SMU Master and Doctor of Liberal Studies programs.
If you like Bluebell ice cream, April was a bad month.
There's a massive recall tonight involving one of the most popular brands of ice cream.
Bluebell is recalling all of its products nationwide. The ice cream maker found that two samplings of its chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream tested positive for Listeria.
And there was more news last week.
The creamery will run a test production at a manufacturing plant on July the 20th. This will be the first time machines have run since the deadly Listeria outbreak earlier this year.
This is Think. I'm Lauren Silverman, in this week for Chris Boyd. And this hour, we're talking about the cold, sticky mess at Bluebell Ice Cream with Diana Ray. She's staff writer for the Houston Press and wrote a piece about her visit to Brenham, the home of Bluebell. It's in the Dallas Observer. Diana, welcome to Think.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So we'll jump into history in a second. But first, even though three people died after eating Bluebell products, there's still a lot of fiercely loyal customers. And online, a lot seem to be wondering when to expect Bluebell to go on sale again. Can you tell us anything?
It's really unclear. It's going to take a lot of time to get the Listeria out of the plants. It's a very hard bacteria to remove. So, you know, I know they're running the test production in Alabama later this month, but who knows when it's actually going to be back on the shelves.
And I saw that they're starting in Alabama, at least they say, because that plant is smaller than the Brenham plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's right.
Might be easier to get the Listeria out.
Well, The Alabama plant, there was less found. I think it's both smaller, easier to contain, and it seems like from the FDA reports, it just was less contaminated, relatively speaking.
So let's go back, way back to more than a century ago. You say in your piece that in the early 1900s, Bluebell really was this little creamery in Brenham. Describe how it all got started.
Yeah, it was a bunch of dairy farmers, you know, working out there. I think a lot of them were German, and they were, you know, they got together and formed a cooperative in this old cotton gin that had just been abandoned, and they started, you know, selling butter out of the excess cream they had. And, you know, they started this company in 1907. It was tiny. It was just a butter, you know, making dairy farm. That's it.
And it wasn't easy. The families, the Cruzy family, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It wasn't easy for that family to start selling to big cities like Houston and Austin at first. How did they do it?
Oh, it was amazing. They were, you know, they were a small town business trying to get into the big market. And initially, their whole approach was to call people that used to live in Brenham and that were living in Houston and Dallas and say, "Hi, you should ask people to order our ice cream at their grocery store so that you can buy it."
Oh, wow.
And that was their approach. It's amazing.
I guess we don't really do that today in our supermarkets. I don't go and ask them to get products very often, but maybe that's how it was done.
I mean, maybe. You know, I wasn't alive back then, so it's, you know, anything's possible. But, you know, eventually they got a lot more savvy. They got a really great ad guy, and he helped market them as this, like, little country creamery, and that was the start of the Bluebell that, you know, the image that we know today.
So, and was that a marketing campaign before they started opening up the new plants? They have a plant in Broken Arrow in Oklahoma and one in Sylacauga in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. I believe that Lyle Mertzdorf, who was the brain behind a lot of that approach, he started working with the company, I think, in the 1960s and 70s, and then worked with them up until he died in 2000, I think, the early 2000s. So it happened way before. They didn't start expanding until the 90s. Like, that's when they actually opened. The Oklahoma plant was in 92, and I believe Alabama was in 96.
And how did they get the brand to grow? Was it this ad guy that was really behind that?
I believe so. I mean, that's what it looks like from the outside. You know, they would know better than me, but they had an incredibly smart approach, you know, about this homey Texas, just like, you know, mom used to make ice cream. It was brilliant, really.
So what drew people to Bluebell was sort of that nostalgia or the image. Was it flavor as well?
I think it was all of those. I mean, I've talked to, you know, one guy was telling me that Bluebell was the only ice cream he ever found that, like, the homemade vanilla tasted just like the ice cream they used to make on his front porch. Like, it really did. And that's, you know, a huge part of the it's about that whole childhood hand-cranked thing.
Do you think the flavor has stayed the same? Have you talked to people who've commented on changes over time?
I really don't know. I mean, it always tastes the same to me. I couldn't tell you if it's actually still the same. Like, supposedly people say it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how many changes they've made to recipes. They've definitely added a lot new flavors. I have dozens, and I was looking through some of the lists, everything from, you know, birthday cake and southern blackberry cobbler to black walnut and pecan pralines. So 100 years after they developed all these flavors, the company was making a pretty good profit. How well were they doing?
I mean, I think it was about, I believe, what, $600 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was for a small creamery and still a relatively small operation, you know, relatively speaking. They were doing really well. And everybody knows who they are, so.
Yeah. Was there ever a sign of mismanagement?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, so there hadn't been anything that had come up before this outbreak of listeria that people were concerned about.
Not outwardly, no.
Hmm. So, and the German-American family, the Cruzies, they made ice cream here, their ice cream, Bluebell, a staple. And it reminded me a little bit of some of the German-American products that we still eat in Texas. Ice cream is not the only one. There are Link sausage or there are different beers and so on.
Yeah, it's amazing. They really made that translate into, like, from being a German thing that people do to, you know, like, national ice cream.
Yeah. So you write that everything went wrong for Bluebell with one random sample.
Yeah, that started in this last February. And because it really was, I mean, the South Carolina Health Department, somebody just pulled, you know, some, I think it was chocolate chip ice cream sandwiches and, you know, one random box out of a random pile, and that one had listeria in it, because not everything had listeria in it. It wasn't, you know, it happens when listeria is being, like, when it's getting into the ice cream, it doesn't just, like, go into all of the ice cream. It goes into some of it, and it's hard to tell which product it's in. But they pulled these ice cream sandwiches. It had listeria, and then when you pop it into this into PulseNet, which is like a big search engine that the CDC and the FDA and all the state health departments use to track these kinds of outbreaks, it matched with ice cream with a listeria case from 2010.
From 2010, how did that happen?
Well, there's genomes that it's like a fingerprint, because there's about 300 strains of listeria, and the genome had already been filed with PulseNet from when that listeria case popped up. I think it was in Kansas. And then from there it was confirmed, you know, that this is the same listeria strain. And then they went from there and traced it all the way back to Brenham. So, you know, it's pretty clear.
And listeria is a bacteria pathogen that thrives in cold. Why weren't ice cream producers more worried about it?
I think it's just people didn't expect that ice cream would ever be a problem. You know, when we started doing refrigeration, the whole point of refrigeration was to keep, you know, bacteria and things out from growing in products. So you just don't look at ice cream and really say, maybe this could hurt or, you know, potentially cause someone's death, because it's ice cream.
Because it's ice cream and it's fun and delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
But after that random sample was pulled back in November and all of this started coming together, there was sort of a snowball of mismanagement, of recalls that happened. Walk us through that history.
Well, it started actually in February, and there was, like, just, they would just figure out, like, which machine it came from and which plant, and, you know, issue a very small recall for that. And then they did more testing at the Broken Arrow plant in Oklahoma, and they found listeria there and started having to recall those products. And, I mean, it took a while. It took 2 months. It took till April 20th for them to actually do a full recall.
And what's disturbing is that an investigation by the FDA, by the Food and Drug Administration, revealed later on that Bluebell facilities had been testing positive for listeria since, was it 2013, and making people sick since 2010, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, they found out that that was what had been going on. Bluebell did have, like, in-house testing that they did, but they wouldn't test the surfaces, like, where the ice cream was actually being made or the ice cream itself. They were just testing random surfaces, non-food contact surfaces. And those tests, like, they had it on the books. They were having private labs run them, and they were finding listeria, but they weren't testing to find out, because there are different kinds of listeria, they weren't testing to find out if this was the bad kind or the good kind. They were just acknowledging it, then cleaning the area the same way they always had. And then they tested the next year, and it would come back up. I still don't really understand it myself. It's amazing.
So there's a good kind of listeria as well?
No, it's not a good kind
of
listeria.
Or there's a kind that isn't as harmful?
Yes, yes.
Of the sort of 300, you said there's hundreds of different strains of the bacteria.
Yeah.
And is it possible then, if this listeria had been in the Brenham plant, for example, for years, could more people have gotten sick or even died in relation to eating some of these products that we don't know about?
It's very possible. The way this works, like with the CDC, you know, you test positive for listeria. That's if a doctor thinks to test you when you're in the hospital. And from there, it gets filed with, you know, the health officials from state and federal and all that stuff. But if that doesn't happen, if no doctor looks at you and says, could this be listeriosis caused by listeria or meningitis caused by listeria, then it could easily slip through the cracks. I mean, it's the CDC doesn't even tell people who have listeria that, like, what was causing it after the fact. They don't consider it their job, from what I understand. So it's very possible that the 10 people, well, the 3 who died obviously will never know, but the 10 people that did test positive for listeria, you know, no one ever was informed in those families or, you know, for those patients that, hey, this came from ice cream.
Hmm. So what happened to the people who ate the contaminated ice cream products, the ones who didn't die but got sick?
We don't really know because they haven't been identified. They got sick and they survived.
You write about one person, though, David Shockley?
Yes, he was not one of those 10.
Oh, he wasn't? So
no.
What's his story?
Well, David Shockley, actually, he's from Maryland, and he moved after, I think, graduating from University of Maryland. He moved to Houston to start as, like, an assistant director for a retirement community. And they have ice cream there. They have, you know, little cartons of Bluebell, the little institutional ones that actually have been tied back to listeria quite a bit. But so David Shockley was here. He was eating ice cream, and he had he's in his, like, you know, early 30s. Most people that age, if you eat contaminated, you know, ice cream, you wouldn't get sick. But in his case, he did, because he also has a condition. I believe it's
something that made him weaker.
Autoimmune disorder. He had an autoimmune disorder that made him weaker because he was taking medicine to deal with it that weakened his immune system. So, you know, he got very, very sick in October, I believe, 2013. And he had meningitis, and he, you know, basically his whole body collapsed. He, you know, woke up in the hospital unable to talk, move, speak. He had brain damage. And in that case, the doctor did test him and find that it, you know, was listeriosis was in there. So,
and he's actually filed a lawsuit.
Yes, he was the first one to file a lawsuit. However, in his case, it still isn't tied, and no one knows what happened to his listeria test. It was filed probably with PulseNet, but, you know, the state health officials aren't saying because they can't. It's, you know, a confidentiality thing. And then it's very unclear what actually caused it.
We're talking today with Diana Ray. She's staff writer for the Houston Press and recently visited the home of Bluebell in Brenham, Texas, for a story that's in the Dallas Observer. You can join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372, by emailing think@kera.org, or by sending me a tweet. I'm @LSilverwoman. We'll be back with more Bluebell history and next steps with Diana Ray after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, a customizable evening master's degree for working professionals. More at smu.edu/MLS.
There's no nothing like the taste of Bluebell homemade ice cream. It's nothing like any other taste you've ever known.
There's nothing like the taste of the very best.
We eat all we can, but we sell the rest.
It's homemade down home.
Bluebell, the best ice cream in the country.
Bluebell, the best ice cream in the country.
You're listening to Think on 90.1. I'm Lauren Silverman, in today for Chris Boyd. Our guest is Diana Ray. She's a staff writer for the Houston Press and recently visited the home of Bluebell in Brenham, Texas, for a story that's in the Dallas Observer. Bluebell has its share of loyal fans. Both former President Bush Sr. and G.W. Bush used to have Bluebell delivered to the White House. The company has more than 10,000 followers on Twitter, and selling the sticky treat on eBay has become popular since the recall. Diana, have any followers said enough?
Not that I've really seen. I mean, people are, they love that ice cream. It's impressive.
I did see at least one tweet. The Texas Standard did a little segment about this, and someone wrote the old saying that I don't know, I think it's from Texas, wrote, "Fool me once." So maybe a few people, but it didn't seem like many people are saying no more.
It's been amazing to see. It's like I've never seen this kind of loyalty before. Like, I mean, I don't know if you'd call it blind loyalty, but you know, devoted, let's say, from both the customers and from, you know, the people in Brenham. It's, you know, they look at this as, they're all concerned, they're all about the ice cream. They just want to know when it's going to come back. It's not really about the listeria or how long it was in the plant or, you know, the fact that they didn't get rid of it before.
I wonder why. Do you have any idea why if it is, in some sense, extreme devotion?
I mean, I know with people, I think that a lot of it, as far as customers go, there's so much, you know, it really is, you know, the national ice cream of Texas and all this stuff, especially in Texas, it seems like it's just, you know, a part of the culture at this point. For the people in Brenham, it's a lot more complicated, though, because, I mean, they depend on Bluebell. Bluebell is the difference between Brenham existing as a town that people know about between Houston and Austin and a town that doesn't, you know, like every other town along that way. It's just, it's very easy to overlook. Bluebell is what makes them stand out. It's what provides a huge portion of their jobs. They're one of the largest private provider employers in the area. And they're also, they donate a lot, the Cruzy family and Bluebell, to the community. Almost everyone there has some kind of a tie. And they have spoken with, I didn't find a single person who could say anything against,
wow,
or even critical of how Bluebell handled this. They, you know, it's absolute loyalty down there.
They did lay off, 900 employees there?
They laid off 1,450 employees, and I think they furloughed 1,400. They laid off a huge portion and sent a bunch of them home. And it's people who had thought they would work at Bluebell from the day they started working until the day they stopped. A lot of people didn't know how to deal with this. It was, you know, they were having to go out on the dole, find charity to help them because they were just in a lurch.
And there's
very quickly.
And there's even, you said, some charity groups that have come together to try and help these people.
There's one charity, I think it's that's like the big charity of the area. It's been around for about 15 years, and they usually help the homeless and the working poor. But they immediately, as soon as the Bluebell, you know, layoffs started being announced, they were putting together job fairs and aid, you know, setups and just anything else they could do to help. And again, this is another charity that I think has strong ties to Bluebell. They just do.
Describe what the town looks like. I haven't been there.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's, you know, green grass. There's a white gazebo in the courtyard, little, like, you know, restaurants and, you know, cute little stores that do a lot of business with people coming through going to Bluebell. So it looks like an idyllic Texas country town. You know, it's very pretty.
I read, I don't know if this is true, that some of the parks there have slides in the shape of sundaes, ice cream sundaes.
Yes, and so does the pool is decorated with ice cream. There's Bluebells everywhere you look. They're, you know, on the side of the stadium. They're on the side of, you know, different murals around town. It is an ice cream town. That's what they do.
The Chamber of Commerce, too, I saw it keeps a freezer stocked with Bluebell ice cream sandwiches and mini cups.
Yes. It seems like everyone keeps a freezer stocked with Bluebell ice cream, this and that. It's amazing. And then people show up there, like right now, and they're like, but where's the ice cream? Well, it's not on the shelves right now. Like, they say it really politely.
So you write that, and maybe this speaks to the devotion, that some people have dismissed the 10 cases of listeria that were confirmed by the CDC. They've dismissed them, saying, well, the people who got sick must have been weak. Does that conclusion hold up?
I don't think I don't know those people, so I can't say what the circumstances were that got them sick, and nobody else can either. But yeah, it was interesting. They described them as weak, and I think that was partly because there was some misunderstanding about the Kansas State Health Department had issued a comment that said, basically, we don't know what killed the three who did die. Hmm. It might have been listeria, but they were in the hospital for other issues at the time when they got sick, so we don't know, and you can't know because it's hard to tell, what does that to somebody. But people took that to mean that the listeria didn't kill them. And that's, I checked with the Kansas State Health Department, and they're actually like, hey, thank you for asking, because no, it's not that simple. It's not just people who were weak and died, from other things.
It does seem like such a juxtaposition to see the support and the tweets and the demands for Bluebell to be back and the excitement, while at the same time these deaths going on.
It's very strange to watch, and I think it really is just because of public health privacy issues. We don't know who these people are. They didn't have faces and names and if David Shockley hadn't filed that lawsuit, there wouldn't be anyone to show people, hey, this is the other reality. Yes, you don't have ice cream in your stores, but there are people that have actually, potentially suffered from this.
And why don't we know? Why is that information? Is because it's health information, it's just going to remain private?
Yeah, it's harder to find people. The CDC doesn't identify them. It's privacy laws about, healthcare. So we don't know.
I wonder if
they don't even probably know.
Yeah, I wonder if any of those families will speak out.
Maybe if they ever find out that they have it, and they might not know. The CDC doesn't necessarily inform you. You have listeria. You have listeria from Bluebell ice cream, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't always contact people. They're more focused on the investigation from what, food safety people have told me. That's more what they do.
It is fascinating to think that if we had a name and a face for some of these people who potentially could have been affected, whether social media and what we're seeing would be different. And you point out in your piece that one person slapped a pint of crazy cookie dough Bluebell ice cream on Craigslist with a $10,000 price tag.
Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah. And cookies and cream on eBay for $50. And people are desperate for their ice cream.
But Dutch chocolate was only going for 10. So, they want certain ice creams, it seems.
Interesting. So the FDA did make reports of what it found inside the Brenham facility public. What did we learn about what was going on there on the production lines?
That people were, this was all in all three facilities. It's Broken Arrow was probably the most extreme sounding, but they were finding that people weren't washing their hands when they would return back to work, that they were not necessarily properly attired, that they were allowed to wear their own shoes into the factory, and you're not supposed to do that because it can track in listeria very easily. So there were a lot of issues. They also, that's how they found out that listeria had been in the Broken Arrow plant since 2013. Along with some other bacteria that is not, by Oklahoma law, they were having much higher levels than they're allowed to have.
And Bluebell didn't require tests of the surfaces that touched the ice cream. You mentioned this earlier. That seems strange. Why might they not require tests of the surfaces that touch ice cream?
It's still really unclear why they didn't require the tests of the surfaces. You don't test the product itself because if you start testing the product, unless there's evidence for listeria, because if you start testing the product, it tends to ruin the product. You're wasting money, basically. But you would think they would test the surfaces, and I don't know why they didn't. They were testing non-food contact surfaces, though, and they were finding listeria. So again, it's unclear why that never led from A, B, C, you know, to the ice cream.
Has there been an allegation, or have there been any allegations of negligence or wrongdoing there?
There's been the one lawsuit filed by David Shockley that was filed a couple months ago. Bill Marler, a very well-known food safety lawyer who represented the Jack in the Box victims back in the 90s, he said it's the worst report he's ever read, and that he was not happy with what he was seeing, you know, as a lawyer, like that there's a lot of things they weren't doing.
The CEO of Bluebell, Paul Cruzy, apologized to customers in April.
We're heartbroken over this situation and apologize to all of our loyal Bluebell fans and customers. Our entire history has been dedicated to making the very best and highest quality ice cream we possibly could, and we're committed to fixing the problem. Ice cream is a joy and a pleasure to eat. It certainly is for me, and I do it every day, and it should never be a cause for concern. And for that, we do apologize, and we're going to get it right.
What kind of penalties does Bluebell face, either civil or criminal?
As far as like the state health, you know, regulations and federal, there is an option from the state health that they could face penalties in Texas, at least from $1,000 to $25,000. And the Texas Health Department has said that they're looking at that it's possible that they might eventually issue fines. They originally had said that they weren't going to. So it's, you know, that's been really interesting to see. On the federal level, the FDA has the option of pursuing criminal charges, because if you unknowingly transport, you know, a contaminated product across state lines, it can be like, you know, I think a misdemeanor. If you knowingly do it, it can be a felony. And I think it's arguable that, you know, somebody knew based on the testing, or at least had some evidence to look at. So they could be facing, Paul Cruzy and you know, other officials could be facing criminal charges. But it's, you know, who knows if that's going to happen.
And there is precedent for punishment for outbreaks of foodborne illnesses. Back in April, I think it was, two egg industry executives, they were sentenced to jail for their roles in the 2010 salmonella outbreak. And a pair of Colorado farmers were sentenced to 5 years probation not too long ago for a listeria outbreak in 2011.
For the cantaloupe thing.
Yeah, the cantaloupe thing. And that was – so are people talking about connections – not connections with the listeria, but this being a precedent, setting a precedent in any way?
Not so far. I mean, I think until something happens, it doesn't – you know, it doesn't set any precedent until we have something to work with, until some – well, not we, but until something precedent-setting happens. But who knows what could happen.
Now – is this something that's been unique, the listeria in ice cream plants, to Bluebell, or has this been happened in other ice cream production facilities?
It actually happened in two other production facilities in the past year. Jenny's Ice Cream, which is an Ohio-based company, had an outbreak, and they had to pull their products off the shelves. And they had actually started producing ice cream again, and they found listeria again in June and had to pull them back off the shelves. I think they're back up and running now. But and then there was also Snoqualmie out of Washington State. They had a listeria outbreak discovered in December, and they actually did one of the better handling of how to, you know, deal with a listeria outbreak. They yanked all their products off the shelves immediately. They, you know, apologized and were really talking about the victims, which is what you're supposed to do in these situations, from what, you know, people have told me who handle these things.
And the crisis, you know, managers.
Managers say that it's supposed to be handle the crisis and talk about the people, don't talk about your company. And they did that. They had two cases end up in the hospital, but they turned around and immediately started putting in some very strong FDA recommended guidelines that were, I think, first published in 2008. And those guidelines are what the FDA hopes people would do to prevent listeria. And they're much more strict. They're more strict than any other current laws or, you know, require these companies to be. And Snoqualmie is producing ice cream again, and they got rid of the listeria.
Do you think that image, though, stays? I keep thinking back to this cantaloupe outbreak. And I remember after there was the listeria in Cantaloupe, I definitely, I don't know how consciously it was, but I was not going to get cantaloupe. Does that image stay?
I think it can linger. I think so much of it depends on how you handle it and you know, how you approach it. Jack in the Box, I mean, I think at the time in the 90s when this first happened, who didn't think that's the end of Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
Like they had kids die.
Yeah.
You know, it was an ugly, ugly thing. But they became food safety leaders in their, you know, within their industry, and they, you know, really showed, well, I think they also probably paid out, but they really showed remorse for what had happened. From what I've heard, the CEO of Jack in the Box, like, to this day still carries pictures of the children who died in that mm-hmm. outbreak. They turned it around, you know, but I still, whenever I drive through Jack in the Box, I think, huh, 90s hamburgers.
Right after you munch on one of their deals. There's someone who wrote in, Heidi Betts, who asks, and I don't know if you know this, what's the significance of the different color rims on the packages? She says she's seen gold rims, silver rims, brown rims on Bluebell ice cream. Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't say. Maybe they look prettier against the ice cream color. I'm really not sure.
What's it going to take to get Bluebell back up? Do we have any idea what the Texas health officials are demanding?
Everyone, Texas Health Department, Oklahoma, and Alabama have all reached agreements with Bluebell that say that they're going to have to do a very strict test and hold procedure where they, you know, make the ice cream, they test the ice cream, they sit and wait and, you know, make sure the ice cream doesn't start, you know, having listeria in it before they ship any out. So they're going to be doing that once they start up and running. But the first thing is they have to actually get, you know, the listeria out of the plants, and that's not easy to do.
We're talking today with Diana Ray. She's a staff writer for the Houston Press and recently visited Bluebell in Brenham, Texas, for a story that's in the Dallas Observer. Join our conversation. Call 800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org. Send me a tweet as well. I'm at L. Silverwoman. We'll be back with more from Diana Ray after a short break.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Master of Liberal Studies program. You can apply now for fall and design your own master's degree at SMU, specializing in communications or organizational dynamics. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on 90.1. I'm Lauren Silverman, in for Chris Boyd. Our guest today is Diana Ray. She's a staff writer for the Houston Press, and her most recent piece, A Sticky Mess, appeared in the Dallas Observer. You can join our conversation by calling 800-933-5372 or by emailing think@kera.org. Diana, are other major ice cream brands like Ben & Jerry's or Häagen-Dazs taking advantage of Bluebell's absence this summer?
I've noticed some ads that look a lot like, hey, we don't have listeria. Like, it seems implied. I saw one from Häagen-Dazs the other day that made me chuckle, but just because, you know, I'll look at them, be so clever. But, I think they're probably enjoying it. Their biggest competitor is not competing.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter or something, Ben & Jerry's trying to lure Texans, it seemed, talking about new flavors like bourbon pecan pie or barbecue peach. They said that would be for Texas stores only.
Bourbon pecan pie does sound really
right?
good.
A little bit suspicious. Yeah. Barbecue peach. I'm not sure if someone wants to tell me which one they'd like. I'm curious to hear. Again, you can email think@kera.org or call 800-933-5372 to talk Bluebell or ice cream. I also saw Kroger says sales of other brands have gone up. Breyers and Dreyers and even their private selection brand. So it does seem like a good time to get in.
Yeah, it's a good time to get in the ice cream game, I guess.
At least until things are back up. It sounds like it might take a while.
Yes. Bluebell themselves said it would, you know, it wouldn't be immediate. It would probably take months. that's been, I think, the reality of the situation, especially since the FDA report came out that showed how extensive their problems are and the things they need to do to fix it.
Why is it so hard to get the Listeria out? It's not just wiping it down with bleach.
No. Listeria is an incredibly pervasive and it's very hard to get rid of. It's just it tends to linger. If you leave even a little bit of it hanging around, it multiplies. It has a very fast reproduction rate. So, you know, a couple of cells becomes four, becomes eight, becomes rapidly. And so you have to thoroughly get rid of it. And if you can't do that, then you still have Listeria and you're back at square one.
Yeah, that sounds like a cleaning project that is not easy, especially in a factory where you have, I saw some of the reports, things dripping from condensation above, and it's 360 degrees cleaning.
Yes, 360, maybe 365.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Do.
Yeah.
And then also it tends to linger in cold, like so you can't count on the cold to get rid of it, so it's just kind of there.
We have someone who's calling from Roanoke. Joe says is wondering about the strain. Go ahead, Joe. Are you there?
Yes. Now, it was my understanding that there was three different facilities that had this Listeria, and I was wondering, is it the same strain, or is it attracted by strain?
Thanks, Joe.
It's a few different strains. I believe it was like four or five different strains. Like the there were five patients in Kansas. They all had the same strain except for one patient. And the one patient, it was like by association, they were pretty sure it also came from Bluebell's ice cream. And then in Texas, Oklahoma, and I think Arkansas, I believe. Anyways, but in the other states, they had each had their own strain that matched genomes that tied to Bluebell, that tied to the patients, that tied to the ice cream. So,
someone wrote in, Morgan Hamilton says, food contamination during manufacturing happens all the time. In fact, much more frequently than the average person knows. She says it's the price you pay for convenience. At the same time, she says that she found Bluebell while at college at A&M, Texas A&M, in 1980 and has loved it ever since and will be first in line to buy Bluebell ice cream when it hits stores again.
I mean, that's true. Food contamination isn't an issue. I mean, it happens. It's part of why there was a law passed by Congress in 2010 that's the first real food safety overhaul that we've seen since FDR passed the food safety laws back in 1931. So it is an issue. It's something that does happen. It's just part of the deal ever since food became, you know, more manufactured and processed. It's the reality.
So are standards not strict enough? Are some people saying there needs to be more oversight?
The food industry, I think, like any industry, wants to probably more self-regulate and you know, says that they're just fine as they are. But, yeah, there are some people that are really pushing to have more strict standards just to keep specifically like pathogens like Salmonella and Listeria out of the ice cream or out of all food.
Mm-hmm.
And ice cream, too.
Yeah, I saw that President Obama signed the Food Safety Modernization Act in 2011, which was after that really bad outbreaks of salmonella in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. Did you hear anyone talking about whether that act has made a difference or could make a difference?
It hasn't made any difference yet because it hasn't gone into full effect.
When's
the
that
laws? Yeah, the laws should actually start later this year, the new rules that the FDA is redoing. But it's taken – there actually was a court case brought against the FDA to get them to move a little faster and get the laws out. They haven't done it yet. So it'll start later this year, and into next year they'll be changing how things are regulated and their rules, but it's just taken a long time.
Rhonda is calling from Murphy, Texas. Rhonda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I just this brings back so many memories. You know, when I was growing up in Alabama and Georgia, we all, you know, my mother and auntie, we made our own ice cream, and it was like the best thing ever. But I think once we tasted Bluebell homemade vanilla, we thought our aunties and mamas had like died and gone to heaven and left them to Bluebell the recipes. So now nobody really makes homemade ice cream anymore. But since Bluebell has happened, I know for me and some of my relatives, we're like digging back, going through the recipes again and see, oh, how did Mama make that recipe? Because Bluebell homemade vanilla is like a real close knockoff of, you know, what we were used to. And I just haven't had ice cream, you know, since the outbreak, because I've been really afraid to, you know, eat anybody else's ice cream.
So maybe it'll get you back in the kitchen to try and make it?
Literally this weekend in Memphis, we're going to do an ice cream turn off at my family reunion.
Oh, wow.
Because nobody can get Bluebell vanilla anymore. I just want to encourage everyone to preserve those homemade recipes from our relatives and grow some food, because every year we hear about these outbreaks of foodborne illnesses. And if we kind of like knew where our food came from, maybe our local markets and out of our own kitchens and backyards, we would probably be a little bit healthier, I believe.
Thanks, Rhonda. That's interesting. I wonder if people will turn to making ice cream. I think you've got to buy some special, or it helps at least to have some equipment to do that. It's not an easy thing to make.
No, it takes forever and ever and ever.
Right? You sit it in. All I remember growing up is having friends who make it, and they had it in the fridge, and it was a really long process, and that can be discouraging.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, hand cranking and things. It just takes a while, it seems like. But people have been doing that, you know. Actually, in Brenham, half the people I talked to, at least easily, told me, oh, yeah, I'm making it with this, you know, new recipe that I found, and I'm pulling down the old ice cream maker and making my own, because they won't buy other ice cream.
Oh, sort of like the boycott or the loyalty there. They won't turn to Haagen-Dazs, I guess.
Or even walk down the ice cream aisle, it seems.
Really?
Yeah.
Boycott on the ice cream aisle. Well, that's bad for those supermarkets, I'm sure. Do you think that rebuilding Bluebell's reputation will be easy, hard? What do you think?
I think it'll take time. I mean, when you look at it, though, I mean, their reputation doesn't seem to have suffered within people who really love the ice cream. So it might be easier than I or anyone else expects. You know, they could start churning it back out in a few months and then be Bluebell again. But, I mean, it arguably will change things. I mean, they're now going to have that little side note of, oh, yeah, that's the company that had Listeria that time. It's not a nice thing to have to admit.
You can join our conversation. We're talking with Diana Ray, staff writer for the Houston Press, by calling 800-933-5372 or by emailing think@kera.org. And this case is different from some of the other Listeria outbreaks that have happened in the past, like the cantaloupes one, because that one was tied to a fruit. So everyone associated a fruit with Listeria, but this is tied to a brand. Do you think that makes it any different?
I mean, I think it could make it different. It's the difference between, you know, eating no cantaloupe, like you said, you were like, I'm not eating cantaloupe for a while, and eating no Bluebell. You know, it's that's hitting a specific company who, you know, has a specific problem now.
Joan Carroll wrote in, and she says, I'm not sure what the big deal is about Bluebell ice cream. I don't believe they can claim to use all natural ingredients. Personally, she says, we eat ice cream with four or five ingredients, and Bluebell has never qualified in that department. Maybe many, many years ago, but not now. I'm curious. Do you know how long their ingredient list is?
I mean, I've looked at it just because I've looked at it, because I do that every so often.
Yeah.
And it's long. I mean, I think it's fairly long, but I, you know, again, I'm not like an authority on the ice cream list ingredient list.
Do you like
question.
It? Do you like Bluebell ice cream?
I like
Put
some
you on
of
the
it.
Spot.
I like their peppermint ice cream they came out with at Christmas. It's like. And then the Rocky Road, like my grandpa ate it when I was a kid. So I'm just like, I love that stuff because it's, you know, I'm 5 years old again. But I'm not that big into the homemade vanilla, which, you know, I like other ice cream too.
Yeah. So. Well, I grew up in California and we didn't have Bluebell ice cream there. I think that they're in 22 states. They were going to expand to 23 before this outbreak. But it isn't known in certain places. Did you hear about or see in your research that they're planning to try and make it known in places like California?
I think they've been working on it. I didn't see California specifically. Mm-hmm. I know they've been, you know, they're trying to grow. That's how companies, you know, thrive and survive, is they have to grow, expand the market, or they don't, you know, continue.
I wonder if they – do they have any good people in their marketing now, like the man you mentioned who you said really propelled them into the spotlight back in – was it the 60s?
I mean, it's, I believe he started working with them in the very late 60s, like maybe even 1969. And then he really hit his stride in the 80s and 90s especially. That's where – I mean, that's where I remember a lot of the jingles from, but I was also like growing up then. I don't know what their marketing department's like now. I don't know the new jingles the way I know the old stuff. Lyle Mertzdorf, he died in the early 2000s in a sailboat fire, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and very suddenly. He was in his like mid-60s, and I don't know that anyone's really ever been able to replace him.
Wanda is calling from Little Elm. Wanda, are you there?
Yes, I am. I just wanted to mention that one of the new ice creams I've seen at Kroger is called Turkey Hill, which I'm from Pennsylvania. That's where it's from. It's sort of a mini mart kind of thing, but it's, I think they brought it into Kroger before the Bluebell episode with the Listeria. So I just wanted to point that out.
And have you tried it?
Oh, yeah. I grew up eating it. It's wonderful ice cream. They have two kinds, one with more ingredients in it, you know, more list on the ingredients, and then they have a natural kind that has like four things in it.
So are you gonna be in line for Bluebell when it is back on the shelves, or do you have any hesitation?
It's not the hesitation. I think I just like the taste of Turkey Hill better, but I'm sure once they get their problem solved, then people will be comfortable going back to it.
Great, thank you. And David, who's in Fort Worth. David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Couple of three things. One, questions about why Listeria is so hard to get rid of. It loves cold. Secondly, it loves moisture. So in something like an ice cream plant, where you've got condensation, you've got cooling, the very act of cleaning brings more water into the environment, keeps it moist, which then gives you a lot more Listeria. So it becomes a self-defeating effort to clean it sometimes. Secondly, the bit about foodborne outbreaks and being associated with manufacturing. If you look at foodborne...
Hey, David, we're out of time. I'm sorry about that. Our guest today was Diana Ray. She's a staff writer for the Houston Press and recently visited the home of Bluebell in Brenham, Texas, for a story that's in the Dallas Observer. Diana, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Knecht is associate producer. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. And you can contact us via email at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Lauren Silverman. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.